On the show today, we have Continuity Control's Andy Greenwald talking about their latest banking compliance index report for the third quarter and showing regulators causing a continued avalanche of work for credit unions. So check it out. Guys have put out a pretty cool little study called Regulators Caused Credit Unions Avalanche of Work, and it's a pretty in-depth study that you guys did. I mean, but this is nothing new for credit unions, knowing that the regulations have just pummeled them with work. But what can folks expect here? Is there a new twist here that we can expect? Or
what was in the article was our business our banking compliance index, what we call BCI. Mm-hmm. And so what the BCI is it's a quarterly study that you may have seen. The article obviously covered it, but it's also a fixture in the Wall Street Journal. It was in Kiplinger's. It made the cover of The Economist. And so because we're the first ones who took this angle to say, okay, what are the economic impacts of regulation? Yeah. So what it does is it tracks, you know, because of the nature of our business, we track these things and do the work that we do on behalf of our clients. Mm-hmm. So we track the number of these things that occur, how much effort it takes the credit unions to actually address them, how long it takes to read these things, all of the different effort, and then quantify that into, folks get paid a certain amount, then it takes them a certain amount of time. So we actually distill that into cost. So across the entire community banking industry, so both credit unions and thrifts and mutuals and savings banks, the cost over the last quarter alone was $185 million.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, I mean, I was reading the story in Credit Union Journal here on my other screen, and, I mean, just the things that you labeled or you listed for, like, what was it, the third quarter is just astronomical. I feel so bad. I mean, especially for the smaller credit unions who may not have the resources as, you know, maybe $1 billion or even a $750 million credit union, you know, a $50 million credit union certainly does not have the resources to handle this type of stuff.
No, it's, I mean, when you look at it, and for the last quarter here, I'm just going to go to my cheat sheet here. You had 2,231 pages of information. So now you're a $25 million credit union, a $50 million credit union. You know, that probably is the CEO's job to read that.
Yeah.
And these aren't 2,200 pages of Grisham. You know,
this is pretty dry reading. Yeah. Is there a Cliff Notes version somewhere that we can get?
Well, as a matter of fact,
I like that.
You know, that's actually what we do in the process of reading all of this is compress that to just the parts that the credit unions need to actually manage these changes. So our compression rate, as it were, is better than Cliff Notes at about 95%.
Oh my gosh, what a relief!
Yeah.
Exactly. The heavens open up and sunlight rays through, shine
out,
through.
Play with your children. Have your weekends back.
Exactly. Oh my God. I mean, it just makes you think like, okay, what's in the other 90% or 95%? I mean, it's
a lot of
overwhelming.
You know, it's a lot of background. It's a lot of, you know, other legal precedents. It's a lot of, you know, just, you know, filler.
Yeah,
and the challenge is that, you know, as legal entities and certainly, you know, consultants in the area, you know, no one gets down to this is what needs to happen. So for a credit union, they have, you know, there are regulations, and then there are the policies that where the credit union says, I officially acknowledge that regulation exists and someone's going to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there are the procedures by which they do it, and then they need to verify that it got done. And so, you know, for us, simply understanding what a credit union actually has to do is the central, you know, fact to getting that compression rate there, so we can simply tell them this is what you need to do.
Right.
Because, you know, why you need to do it, listen, it's a regulation. Do we really need to cover that in 1,000 pages?
Exactly, yeah. So you kind of get down to the brass tacks of it. I mean, you get down to the core of it, and okay, this is the steps you need to do. Get it done and move on with your day, basically.
Bingo.
Okay, cool. Were there any surprising results that you guys discovered in this latest round of report?
So the surprise, we always expect that it's going to slow down, and it doesn't. There's sort of 60 to 85 regulatory changes per quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some good relief with the redefinition of small entity.
Mm-hmm.
From 50 million to 100 million. So that moved, I think about 500-600 credit unions into the smaller entity mm-hmm. range. So that should provide some relief for that portion.
Yeah.
So about 10%, a little less than 10% of the market. So those were some moves that were good, but really it's just the continued pace of it all at the rate that it has. You always expect, like, okay, it's going to abate. Is there a political dynamic afoot? Does something affected? And it really appears to be quite inert.
I'm just thinking, like, gosh, I mean, if you wanted to start a credit union today, or any kind of financial institution for that matter, I mean, that's a massive hurdle to get past, you know, or to get over. It's like, gosh, do I really want to deal with all the regulations and the compliance stuff? And I would shy away from it, possibly. I mean, you know, but there are people that kind of like that stuff, maybe.
Well, we had the good fortune of winning the fastest growing company in Connecticut.
Congratulations!
So I was giving a little talk on that, and explaining to people who just are business people, like, what it's like to live with these regulations. And when you think about 309 changes in 2014. And how many changes per week that is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Imagine as a business owner having to modify your internal operating procedures four times a week just to stay on the right side of the government.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, just, and again, to your point, with a smaller credit union, limited staff, it's an impossible situation.
Exactly. And I remember a few years ago, I remember going to a NAFQ conference, and Dan Berger was up there talking, and he said, you know, compliance officer is going to be one of the most popular jobs at a credit union or even a financial institution in the next, you know, decade. And I think it's probably coming to fruition.
Certainly. And you know, the level of specialization and the effects on the wage scale and everything else. I mean, there was a up in upstate New York, one of the big banks hired, you know, another 400 compliance people.
Goodness.
So every smaller community financial institution basically was gutted.
Yeah.
Because they came in and they'd walk in and offer, you know, if you even had compliance in your title, it was a 30% pay raise like this.
And what's
the local credit union or other community financial institution going to do against the deep pockets of, you know, HSBC? That's we're seeing that dynamic all around the country. So, the challenge is that every financial institution needs some amount of this stuff, but they, you know, really can't afford it full time. And even if they can afford it full time, they can only afford it full time for a moment, because the price of full time is going up at far greater than the rate of inflation.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it really is a situation where some sort of an outsourced strategy is really the right way to handle this. You know, if you have something that's too complex, too constantly changing, you know, I outsource my alarm monitoring for my home, right? You know, it only makes sense. Yeah. So I'm not going to staff it.
Well, and you can focus on what you do best. You know, like credit unions, for instance, they can focus on what they do best, and that's serving their members and putting out really cool products and services. Whereas somebody like you or any other type of technology or any type of outsourced service can come in and help you out with that stuff. So you can focus on what you do best.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that kind of segues my next question. I mean, what advice do you have for credit unions out there to kind of handle, I mean, to manage this stuff? I mean, because you, like you said, you each year you go into, or each quarter, you like you expect it to slow down, but it's not. So what advice do you have for them?
Well, the you know, couple of pieces of advice. One is, you know, we hear it all the time. Well, we don't have time to do that. Maybe next quarter. There is no next quarter.
Yeah.
If you're waiting for this stuff to slow down,
there's no perfect time.
To make a better decision, you know, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So really, it's a question of, you know, looking at a, you know, not a next quarter or the quarter after, but a 5-year time horizon. Mm-hmm. You know, for the credit union, really, you know, operationally, to your point earlier, what things are you really good at, and do you really need to do for your members and what things don't you need to do, and try and separate the wheat from the chaff, so you can be making the strategic investments. Because we, one of the things that I talk to credit unions about all the time, credit union leaders, is about Finovate, which you know well.
Finovate,
point them to the videos and watch this stuff, because there are a lot of people and a lot of venture capital firms spending billions of dollars building companies to disrupt this market.
So
if you're not laser focused on your membership and their needs and getting them the services that are going to best support them, and the only way to do that is to get the operational clunky stuff out of your way. And compliance certainly falls into the realm of operational and funky. So
you said that, I didn't.
No. That's like any you go in. I grew up in a family business, and you go into most credit unions, which are smaller, and they're small businesses, and so you got to realize you can only focus on so many things.
Right.
This is not an important thing to focus on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm a small business, and I loathe the clunkiness stuff that I have to do, and many times I will hand it off to somebody, and then I can focus on doing this fun stuff, talking to folks like you. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So that's really the advice is all around prioritizing what who you want to be in the next 3 to 5 years, and making the time to get the things off your plate that you want to be off your plate, because if you just look at it on a quarter-by-quarter basis, they'll never leave.
Exactly. Which leads me to my wrap-up question, Andy. And get out your crystal ball, because are we going to expect more of the same in 2016? Or will there be a slowdown?
There is no indicator over the last 40 years that there will be a slowdown. 40, yes. It's we actually have done the research back that far. It doesn't matter what political party, doesn't matter what the economy does.
Yeah.
And really, when you think about regulations are a governmental response to human innovation. So to think about regulations slowing down is to think about human creativity slowing down, which based upon our world, I don't think that's a good bet. That being said, the material thing that we see looking forward to 2016 is the recent proposed rule on letting credit unions get more active in the commercial arena. And as they do that, they're walking into an area where the scrutiny, the structures, the credit management, the lending capacity, the sophistication of that, and in turn the NCUA's monitoring of those things is going to be materially different than anything that they've seen historically. So those are things that we anticipate that happening. And that will follow a big uplift in regulatory. That will be followed by a big uplift in regulatory pressure regarding those activities, because they really are operationally quite different.
Gotcha.
And so, therefore, credit unions will begin to look more like banks. And on a relative basis, banks have been level of regulatory scrutiny has been markedly higher than that of credit unions.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
As credit unions begin to be able to do more of those things that have been traditionally isolated.
And then that's going to increase as well. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah. Oh my. All right. I lied, Andy. I have one more question for you.
Sure.
Where can folks where can folks get the latest report that you guys read every quarter?
Absolutely. If they just look up, there's the article, which I'm sure we can link.
Yeah, I can link the article. Yeah, right here.
And then the Bank Compliance Index. So if they look up Continuity Bank Compliance Index or BCI, they'll find it. They'll find it right there.
Perfect. Now I'll put the link in the show notes so people can just click on it. They don't have to go find anything. They'll just click.
Perfect.
The easiest thing on planet Earth to do these days. All right, Andy.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time. Always appreciate it. Always enjoy talking to you. I mean, you really make this stuff interesting. So I really enjoy having you on the show. And let's do it again, sir.
Absolutely, sir.
All righty.